everyone, and welcome to the Screen Strong Families podcast, bringing you the best solutions for parents who are serious about finally eliminating screen problems in their home. This is Melanie Hempe, and if you are one of our regular listeners, welcome back. And if you are a new friend, we are so glad you found us. You're no longer in the dark. You have finally found your people and the answers to all your screen questions for your kids. So we have a wonderful in-house guest. But before I get started, I was thinking this morning about something that I think is really going to help everybody out there. It's summer and it's, boy, we're getting to the final finish line here before school starts. But I had this really cool analogy in my head. And so I'm just going to share it with you. When we think about screen overuse, we always have to consider the negative and the positives, the risks and the benefits. And that's what we do with really anything we allow our kids to do. The problem is that with childhood, you don't get a do-over. You don't get to try something one time and then try it again the next time with the same kid. You only have one childhood to get this right. So it's kind of like a recipe. So I have a really good friend who loves all the recipe channels. And so what she does is she'll go and she'll test them all and then she'll give me the best ones. And she'll say, look, I've already tested these and these work really well. And I started thinking about how we work with screen time with our kids and how we figure this out. And it is like a recipe. And as you know, if you've listened very much to Screen Strong and our story over here, I did that first test on my oldest son, and I learned a lot. Adam ended up dropping out of college because I thought his gaming was fine. I didn't realize it was too much for him, and he ended up just not going to classes. And this time of year really makes me think hard about all the kids that are out there trying to get into a routine with their college. And I would recommend you go on our site and get our little book about that, but that's a little side issue. But I just want to say with Adam, I didn't have the recipe quite right. So I changed things up for our younger kids. And as you know, if you've been listening for a while, we became Screen Strong and we actually figured out that that recipe works really well. So what is it? Screen Strong is not screen free. And we get a lot of questions about this. And I think a lot of people normally assume, oh, well, you're just screen free and I can't do that. But what we did is we figured out how to remove too much of an ingredient that was ruining everything and becoming toxic. And so I want you to think about screen time as salt. So when we're talking about recipes, you know what happens if you put the wrong amount of salt in a recipe. It ruins it. You cannot eat it. It's not that salt is bad. Salt is fine. Salt is good. But a little will do you a long way. Too much will ruin the whole recipe. And it doesn't take much salt in a recipe. If you ever look at what you're cooking, you use like a quarter teaspoon. It's just not that much. And so if you think about screens as salt, you know, we need screens in our life, just like we need salt. And some people would say we can't live without them. And that's probably true in this day and age. We need all this technology that we have and we really can't live without a lot of it anymore, but we don't need too much. And so too much screen time is like too much salt. It becomes toxic. So we are so happy to share this recipe with the world and see these fabulous results that we're getting. And today in my house right here, we have one of our very, very special Screen Strong moms. They're all special. All those Screen Strong moms are special, by the way. And she's traveling and she came through town with her kids and they're out hanging out with my boys. And it's really, really fun. And she's in the middle of her Screen Strong journey. And I said, Emily, why don't you come share what you've learned so far. So Emily Harrison, welcome to my living room.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
So happy that y'all were able to work this out. It is so fun for me to meet you guys. And Emily is actually one of our ambassadors and she has been a tremendous help for Screen Strong. But the thing I'm most interested in is talking with you today about what it's like to discover like the coolest secret ever, because it is, isn't it?
It's been great. Yeah.
It's like you get the perfect recipe, you know, the recipe that's been winning all of the awards. It's like, oh my gosh, I have this recipe now. And just finally figuring out what works and what doesn't and what the ingredients are. So I really like this salt analogy and I hope that nobody steals it out there. So by the way, I'm going to go put it on social and we're going to put Screen Strong next to it because I think for moms especially, or for dads who cook a lot, it's really a good analogy to think about screen time and too much screen time, like, because it's not bad, but you just need a little,
just a little bit.
Yeah. So before we get started, because I've asked you to make a little list in your head here of a few things you've learned on your Screen Strong journey. But before we get started, talk a minute about how you found Screen Strong and how, like, your whole little background.
So this has been over 5 years now since I think I found Screen Strong. So I had actually read Victoria Dunkley's Reset Your Child's Brain and did something I'd never done before. I emailed the author. So I emailed her and said, oh my gosh, this book has literally is changing our family's life. And she, at the time I was living in North Carolina, which is where you are. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I'm sure you know about Screen Strong. I didn't. So that's how I uncovered you. At the time I've got two boys. My oldest was, I guess he was 7 at the time. And then my youngest would have been 4. Mm-hmm. So, once I kind of jumped onto that and started learning, I learned so much from that book, but then started learning more about just how to parent in a way that didn't just remove screens. It wasn't just removing screens. It was all the other things we were getting. And I think that's where Screen Strong's really kind of been really, really influential in our family.
Yeah. That is so cool that you talked to Dr. Dunkley or that you got in touch with her because she's one of our favorites. And if you guys know that listening or whatever, we have her on the show here often. We love her book. And I think that by reading that book, that really helped you, you know, because it gave you kind of the foundation and the kind of medical pieces to it.
Right? It gave me, I knew kind of what made me want to read that book is at the time we were just allowing our kids to watch TV and a little bit of educational and air quotes games on the iPad. And we were just seeing negative behaviors that I just didn't like. Mm-hmm. And I just remember having this moment one day where thinking, one day these kids are going to be bigger than I am. Yeah. Like, I'm raising two boys, right?
Yeah.
One of them's almost eyeballs to eyeballs with me now.
Yeah.
And just thinking, if I don't get a handle on some of these behaviors, they're not going to get better. We're just practicing the wrong thing.
Right.
And figuring out, okay, how do we do this? Because we had tried sticker charts and popsicle stick. We had tried all the things, getting screens as a reward, taking away screens for punishment. And we just could never, things would work for a little bit, but they would never, there was just always just conflict. And it wasn't anything awful. It wasn't anything we couldn't manage at the time, but I knew we couldn't keep going down that path.
Yeah. It was like kind of constant probably.
It was just, yes.
I mean, and you start to see the budding signs,
right?
You know, just kind of the warning signs early on. Oh my gosh, I wish I had seen that, because I saw them with my oldest, but I didn't recognize exactly. And I kept thinking that he was going to outgrow it.
Right. And I think that's something I've learned from you, is you kind of have said a lot, like, little gamers grow up to be big gamers, you know, and just this understanding of what's happening in the brain. The more you do something, it's like that dirt path.
Right.
The more you walk on it,
yeah,
that's what they're going to get good at. And I don't want my kids to grow up to be good at swiping.
Yeah.
That's not a skill I'm looking to develop.
Yeah. They just gravitate toward that more and more.
Confidence, kindness. I want these characteristics.
Yeah. What kind of, like, real quick, what kind of little symptoms did you see or whatever? I mean, they were
still young.
Yeah.
So
they were
some
young.
Of it was just, I mean, some
like
of
meltdowns
it was
or
kind of just normal behavior. Yeah. You would see if I, you know, maybe ask them to clean their room or go to bed. I mean, just the whining, the fussing, the kind of a little tantrumy, you know.
Did you have to set like the kitchen timer like I did, like losing my mind? I kept thinking I could try to say, 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And
I think because we were just dealing with television, it was, you know, a 20 minute show. And of course, everything we were doing with our kids was streaming. So it was a never end. It wasn't like when I was a kid and I wanted to watch a show
one show.
Saturday morning. And if you weren't sitting on the sofa at 8:30, you had to wait until next week, right? So it was when one show was finished, just one more.
Yeah.
It was never, there was just always this drive for wanting more. I remember too thinking, my kids had gotten old enough that like on a Saturday, my husband and I could kind of like sleep in and not have to get up, you know, so early because they figured they were old enough to use the remote so they could go downstairs and watch TV. And then, you know, they're just watching cartoons that we had said that they could watch.
Yeah.
And then realizing, oh, they're not sleeping as well because they're waking up so excited to go do that, that now we're all getting less sleep than we need.
Yeah.
Okay. That's bad. So we just don't do TV, you know, in the mornings or anything.
Well, yeah, I think starting TV in the morning, like on Saturday mornings, is like the worst way to start your weekend because it's just downhill from that point. It really does make a difference.
It does.
When they get that screen thing going early, then the rest of the day is just kind of lame because they're like, well, I want to do that. Right. I don't want to do this.
And in our family now, so we don't do video games. My kids don't have tablets. We don't, they don't have cell phones or anything like that. And so, but we do watch family movies.
Oh, sure.
We actually just took a trip to New York. So we came home and watched King Kong, original 1933, all black and white. It was great. And, so they watch movies, they're allowed to watch TV. I mean, because I care about the content they're consuming, I have a list of things they're allowed to watch. And if there's something new, I have to kind of get permission, but we don't do that until, especially in summertime, until like, you know, 3 o'clock. Maybe.
Right.
And there are weeks that we don't watch anything.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's hot outside. We've ran, we've played, we've done all the things.
Yeah.
We need to be inside out of the sun. Sure. And now's a good time for a 30-minute
If y'all
show.
If y'all are listening and you just want one big tip here, it is like, do not turn anything on early in the morning. Don't turn the screens on in the morning and just save it for a treat for later.
Right.
And we still have a ton of DVDs for this very reason, because DVDs are wonderful. Like if you get series like Little House on the Prairie, you know, you can pop one in, you know, especially for that age. And, when the episode is over, it's over and the DVD stops.
Right. We've started going to, we go to the library a lot during the summer. So we've been like renting movies from the library. And
it's really good to do that when you think about it, because there's a natural stopping point, and we know that our smart TVs really don't have a natural stopping point. You know, Netflix just keeps playing the next episode. And then of course on a phone and everything social media wise and YouTube wise, you know, it never stops. So that natural stopping point is really important. Okay. Let's dive in into, I think you made a list of 5 things that are different because you were Screen Strong here after 5 years. So I'm just so happy. I just got to say it again. I'm just so happy to have you here, because 5 years is a long time to be Screen Strong. And I feel like I just blinked, I met you, and I can't believe it's been that long. But
we've lived through a whole pandemic.
Yeah, that's true.
Time has been weird.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, so get us started with your first thing.
Okay, so one thing that we did, and I think this is from listening to you and kind of hearing about your kids, is I've taught my kids how to make phone calls, which sounds so silly, but we have a house phone. We got a house phone. It's not very expensive. I was actually talking to somebody the other day who has a different brand, and I think we might check that out because it's like less than $10 a month.
Yeah.
So it's been great. We got a house phone, and when we first got it, I realized, oh my gosh, my children do not know. Somewhat, they don't even know how to hold the phone or you know,
talk on the phone,
put it up to their ear and all that. But we've taught them how you call somebody, you know, hello, this is Emily Harrison. Who am I speaking with? Like just little manners. So the other week, my son, we got together, he's going into middle school, and we got together a bunch of his friends from school for, they grilled hot dogs and ran around the backyard and did all that. And I said, you have to call them and invite them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was not very excited about this. So I, you know, went on my phone and I texted a few of my friends and said, Eli's going to call.
You gave him a heads up.
Yeah. My son's going to call. And,
Please answer.
So please answer. And one, there's a new student entering his school, and she texted back and said, you know, my son's out of town. He's not here. And I said, well, I'm going to still have my son call.
Yeah.
So he did. And he called and he had a conversation with an adult.
Yeah.
He did not know.
Aww.
Called, gave our address, the date and time of the gathering, you know, invited the new son over.
Yeah.
And it was just, I got such great feedback from her afterwards. You know, he was just such a delight to talk to. And thank you for welcoming us into this new school community. So that was really great. But more than that, it was watching my son had taken a piece of paper and I mean, he knows our address and everything, everything he needed to know to make these phone calls.
Yeah.
And, you know, he talked to one or two of his friends. Mostly he left voicemails, but, but he was able to do this and he was so nervous about it to start. But after he had made these couple phone calls, he like hung up the phone, yeah. Ran outside and started playing. But you could just tell his confidence.
Boosted.
He knew it was something that was going to be difficult because it's new and new things are hard. And and he did something new and he was so proud of himself. And just to see that confidence, especially as we're entering into middle school and all the craziness that is coming for me, I know. But it was just so great to just see the big, huge smile on his face. And I'm like, we just wouldn't have gotten that
on a text
if he had been texting, or if I had just done all the texting for him and not made him responsible for it.
That's a really good point. As moms, it's so easy for us to do all that for our kids because it's so easy. We just make a text group and we go, bam, and we put it out. Right. And I remember when the boys were in fifth grade and Andrew, they were having Sandlots, and this is probably what you remember me talking about, but he got like a little spreadsheet going, you know, that he drew all the names and the phone numbers, and he did the same thing. I'll never forget him sitting at the kitchen table and just methodically going through and making these phone calls, asking the moms, you know, if they could get together the next day and that his mom, me, I would be there to watch, and all they needed to do was drop him off and bring a lunch. Like he had the whole thing all organized. And, you know, I would go to carpool like the next day and they would stop me. The moms would come over. Your son called me. Like this was the most unusual thing. And they were, again, just like your experience, they were so impressed that a fifth grader could call or, you know, and talk to an adult.
And I think we've forgotten, like we all did this as kids. Mm-hmm. We kind of had to. I mean, even when we were talking about this, my mother-in-law was saying her dad used to make her call every Friday night and order pizza and she hated it, that was something that she had to learn how to do. And my husband was telling my son, like, I did this all the time when I was your age. I would go through my list and see who in the neighborhood could come play. And, you know, I kind of had the top people I'd call, you know, kind of closest friends, and you kind of so keep funny. Working through it. And, and I just think my husband's in the medical field and he has to, and he's an introvert, unlike me, but he has to call people he doesn't know all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times he's calling with news that might be hard to hear.
Sure.
And
sure.
Who are our like future doctors and nurses going to be
if they can't make phone calls?
If they can't even call somebody and say, you know, hey, there's some bad news and I need to be able to discuss this with you. Or who's going to have sales jobs?
Oh, and I don't know.
Just a skill that our kids do.
And it's a skill that they are, for lack of better words, forced to do when they don't have the easy phone right in, you know, some smartphone in their hands.
So we've got some friends up the street that they go to school with who also have a house phone. So all summer, the boys, there's between our house and theirs, there's four boys, and they've spent the summer calling each other and making plans and can I come over? Your mom said we could. And just running up and down the street, biking up and down the street. And they've been able to have a lot more freedom to just go play with their friends instead of always waiting for me to schedule something for them.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. That's and you're able to do that without a smartphone, right?
Right.
So that's what a lot of people say. Well, they need the smartphone so they can call their friends. No, they don't need a smartphone. That's too much salt.
Well, and then even I was out with my younger son the other day, and my older son's old enough to stay home alone for periods of time. But now we have a house phone. I'm not worried about what's happening while I'm gone. But if he needs to call me, he can.
Right.
You know, if I'm going, we're going to run by the grocery store and if we're going to be another 30 minutes, I can call him and let him know. I'm not going to be home
when I said.
Oh,
it's so great. The way it's supposed to be. That's the way we're supposed to use phones. But I love this idea that you have a house phone. And I recommend a lot of times for people to get the Gap phone. They can use our code STRONG. They get a discount. You know, and then you just have it in your kitchen. And that's your house phone. And then it stays there in the kitchen.
Right.
But if random thing happens where they're going to go babysit and they need to take a phone, then they can take it, but they bring it back. It's not theirs. And that's what the whole idea is of a house phone. I think having one actually glued to the wall is not a bad idea either. But this idea of actually teaching kids how to have phone calls and cold call people, especially adults, It's such an incredible life skill, and it's a huge executive function skill. Mm-hmm. And planning
He wrote all of his notes yeah, and he was ready.
Thinking mm-hmm. ahead is so hard, and that is such a great skill. And you know, all the technology we have is great and it's convenient, but sometimes our kids don't need convenience. We need them to learn how to do the hard things first, right, like call an adult. Mm-hmm. I know so many kids that just can't do that.
I know a lot of adults that don't like to do that. So,
well, you know, I was thinking about even when we go to a new place, if we have to find a address and we have to, you know, the first time you do that is a little nerve wracking, mm-hmm. right? But if you've been somewhere before, oh, it's easier.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're not as stressed. So mm-hmm. that is an awesome benefit. All right. What's your next one?
My next one is mom of two boys. But I'm still a mom. I don't want them getting hurt, but right. I just let them take more risk with their physical bodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've just seen how much confidence comes with knowing how mm-hmm. to use their bodies well.
Yeah.
And I started running when I was in my 20s, and I would say it's probably one of the best things I have done, not just for just being healthy and having an activity, but just for my confidence. I remember the first time I ever ran a mile, I thought I was going to die. Yeah. I was like, this is never going to happen. This is yeah. so stupid. Why yeah. do people like
Why
this?
Why do people run?
But I've run multiple half marathons because I was able to accomplish something. Mm-hmm. And I'm giving that to my kids now. Mm-hmm. So this, not that long ago, my son had wanted one of those like hoverboard things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know. And they're fast. And mm-hmm. my husband was like, Emily, we don't let our kids have video games.
Give them a hoverboard.
We can't say no to everything. And I was like, fair point, husband. Fair
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
So we got it and he's had it. And the other day it was a rainy day and they were down in the basement and he had figured out some way to lay on the hoverboard with this other like skateboard device underneath him. And he was literally slithering around the floor like he was a snake.
Yeah.
And he just... He had the biggest grin on his face.
Yeah.
He's as excited as can be. And I'm like, I just had to look at him and go, this is more fun than video games, right? And he was like, oh, yeah, totally. Because he had figured out something
right.
that he could do with his body. And yeah. they like to go mountain biking. And so, you know, they've worked towards, you know, we'll help you buy a bike and mm-hmm. you put in some money, mm-hmm. you know. And so they're just taking these risks with their physical bodies and getting out and, you know, I mean, boys, they need to move a lot.
That movement is so important. And especially for boys, I mean, it's very important for girls too, but boys especially have to know where their limits are
right.
and they have to understand, and they can't do that unless they're out there testing their limits. And that's super important.
Sometimes they test too much.
That sometimes they always do.
But,
they
you know,
always
we've
do.
Only had one broken yeah. bone and that's, yeah. and that's fine. And that even that was an opportunity for him to learn how to be bored for a while
right,
because
right,
he couldn't move
right.
as much.
Well, I love the skin knees. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I love the broken bones, but you know what? The stitches, the broken bones sometimes. I mean, I know people are freaking out listening, but let me tell you, it is so much better than all the other broken things that happen when they're on their video right. games
well,
because I've lived that too.
The broken arm. So he broke it during a soccer game and it was, as far as breaks go, it was kind of ideal. You know, everything was in the right place. He didn't need surgery. But you're just watching, as we would go in every few weeks for x-rays, this mm-hmm. bone literally just miraculously heal itself. And I'm just going, it's going to go back like nothing had ever happened.
Right.
And
right.
if he had been sitting at home playing yeah. video games instead,
yeah.
his brain's not going to go back
no.
to what had happened, even if we had stopped.
That's
like,
right.
Like the
right.
bone heals faster
right.
than the brain. And and I would take 1,000 broken bones over a broken brain.
Yeah. No, that's a super good point. And I can honestly say that is absolutely 100% true. When you are breaking pieces of their emotional body, it is not good. It is not that they can't, you know, eventually get better, but there's so many more scars.
Right. It just doesn't heal as quickly.
It doesn't heal as quickly. And there's just a whole lot more scars. And the other thing that just popped in my head, I want people to remember that it's okay to buy things for your kids if you have it in your budget that will help them get out and do physical things, whether it's baseball bats or trampolines or hoverboards or longboards. We did a lot of longboards and mm-hmm. we invested in those things because I like to point out that investing in counseling is very expensive. And so if you have a child who's getting super addicted to their screen, then you're probably going to have to end up in a counselor's right. office. And so I kind of have a little flippant, I don't know, joke to myself after our situation with our oldest. You know, when the little boys came along, I thought, you know what, I'm going to, you know, invest in things for them to do. And it doesn't have to be a birthday. It doesn't have to be a Christmas.
Right.
Like if they need a new bike, we're going to go get a new bike. Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I want them to do chores and earn things, of course, but I probably err more on the side of getting them the thing that I know will get them outside and make them more active. And we would go to Goodwill all the time and find tons of used stuff that they absolutely love. That was one of their favorite things to do,
sure.
you know, sporting equipment and all that. We have a hockey net thing out in the, that we pull out into the street in front of our house, and all the kids come, you know, so I don't mind at all investing in those things.
Our adult neighbors like to play basketball on the street with them.
Yeah, exactly.
So even it's good for everybody.
Yeah. That physical risk is so good. I'm so glad that you brought that up, and be sure whoever's listening, you need to invest in a really good basketball hoop for your driveway, for your boys and your girls. So spend whatever you need to on that. Don't be chintzy on that. Okay. What's your third thing that you're doing different?
So my third thing, I know why I say no. I'm not, when they were younger and we were dealing with kind of behaviors that we didn't like, we were saying no because I was trying to avoid the behavior or avoid a fight or avoid a meltdown. But now I've learned so much about what's happening in their brain and this dopamine spike and what it's truly doing. And it allows me, when I say no, to be really consistent with it. And I can explain to them. The other day, Mom, why aren't you going to get me a smartphone?
Yeah.
You never told me that before. Yes, I have. I certainly have said that.
Yeah.
But it's going through and I can say all the reasons, and they're children. They don't care. They don't.
And you'll have to tell them
to
again and again and again. And
but
that's
I know what those are, and I'm not going to be swayed because another parent decided to do something differently.
Right.
I can stand firm on that, and I can look at them and say, "This is because I love you. Because I know what's best for you. I've seen the research. I've talked to the people who've struggled. I've talked to the people who've done it well. And I've read the data.
Yeah.
I've presented on behalf of Screen Strong.
Right.
This is why we're doing this.
Right.
It's because I care too much about your brains. And quite frankly, I think about it all the time. Kids are going to find out how damaging it is. As adults, if they haven't started to see just the information that comes out of the CDC and all these different data points about how anxious and depressed teens are, our children are going to find that information out. And if I'm looking at them saying, I knew it was bad, but I let you do it anyway because all your friends were, they just aren't going to trust me and believe me. And I think that's going to damage parent and child relationships once kids are old enough to have learned this on their own.
You're exactly right. And they'll start to see from their own peers what's happening, but they can't see it right now.
Right.
And we all know that, and that's okay. They're in that middle, they get through the middle school and even ninth grade. And then by 10th grade, ninth and 10th grade, they're getting it.
Right.
They're seeing what's happening to their friends. So you've got to hang tight, and I'm here just a phone call away, so you can call me anytime. As you enter that middle school vortex of how they'll tell you that you never told them they couldn't.
Right.
You know, they'll come up with things that they're just distorted a little bit in their what they want. But knowing your why is so critical. And that's why Screen Strong exists, really. We want to help parents know the why. I'm not all about arguing and debating and trying to go back and forth with nuances around parenting opinions around this. We are here to present the why. And then you do with it whatever you need to do with it.
Right.
But it's very important to us to have that medical foundation of the why and the whole way the brain works and the way that this technology can become so toxic in their life. Not all technology, but certain pieces of it.
And with that, not only are we saying no to things, but we're also saying yes to a lot of other stuff. And it does. It's like when my husband says, we don't let them have video games. We say no to everything.
Right.
I go, yes, you're right. So we're saying yes. We're helping build that executive function skills. They have chores mm-hmm. and behaviors and things that we expect out of them. You know, when dinner's done, you put your plate in the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. I mean, they take care of the dog by mm-hmm. every day, you know, food and water. The dog mm-hmm. needs it every day. They're involved. So they're building these skills of planning and doing repetitive actions
right.
that just are part of just life.
And I love that they get to do a lot more things. I really believe that. My oldest son, for example, never got on his bike and rode to go get his hair cut downtown Matthews. Right. No, he would never do that. But the twins do. And so they've gotten to do a whole lot more fun things. And I remember when they were doing those sandlot baseballs, I was just talking about a minute ago, and they would have like 10 of their friends at the local park. And I would go and I would sit really far away because I didn't want to be like in their business. I just wanted them to be kids and they would always go on the smaller field so they could do little home run derbies and hit the ball out over the fence. And it was so fun. And there was no dad there. There was no mom there. There was no coach there mm-hmm. telling. They were just purely right. having fun doing baseball. And I overheard one of the kids in the dugout one of the times we were doing all this, and he was one of the biggest gamers probably in that group. And the boys would still call him, you know, to come to play baseball. And I will never forget this. I can see it in my brain like it was yesterday. And he jumped out of the dugout and he turned around to all the boys and he said, "Isn't this so much more fun than playing video games?"
Right.
He said that out loud and they're all like, "Yeah." And they were being goofy and doing silly boy stuff and
probably gross.
It was gross actually. And I just sat from a distance and I just watched and I'm just thinking, this is the best gift I can give them.
We've had similar moments where kids have been at our house and kids that I know who play video games a lot, some who've stopped playing, thankfully, but have said, this is the most fun.
And
the mom texted me the next day, I got a most. I never get a most. You know, and it's just... And it is. It's what's happening in their brains.
Yeah. So
they're enjoying it more.
Yeah. You just have to try the recipe, guys. It really does work. And with our why, I just want to mention, we'll mention again at the end that we have a new student course coming out and it will help your kids know the why. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've gone through it some with our older son kind of as a test run and it's been really great.
Yeah. That's going to be real. And a lot of parents are going to learn from that too. Yeah. You know, so what's your fourth thing?
My fourth thing is, I get more hugs.
Aww.
I'm a mama voice and I love it. But I just, in all of this, not only are we saying no to kind of toxic screens for our kids, but I've learned to be better about my own phone usage. I remember a time or two when, before we had kind of gotten on the screen strong lifestyle, that my phone would be, you know, sitting aside somewhere and one of my kids would bring it to me. And it was like they attached me and my phone as a unit. And I didn't like that.
Oh yeah.
So I personally have gotten rid of all social media. I find that I'm much happier. I've moved to a brand new state and had all new friends without social media. It can be done.
Yeah.
Because I'm more physically available, I'm not tied to a device scrolling my own social media or anything like that. They walk up to us. Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. They want to give us hugs and be around us. And that physical touch is so important. And of course, if I tried to do that in front of their friends, I'd probably get some eye rolls and everything because
they need the physical touch.
But they need those moments.
They need that physical touch. And I think it's like, they need like 12 hugs a day or something.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something with boys. You got to grab that quick because they're usually like a dart running through the room. So finding ways, even when they're a little bit older. I know we've had a podcast on here with Chris Rowan, if y'all want to go back and listen to it. And she talked about how that hug and how to do like a sideways hug where you kind of push down and put this pressure. And it's very calming for them when you put your arm around their shoulder.
I do a lot of like shoulder pats when we're riding in the car.
Yeah.
You know, anytime that you can reach. Just those little moments.
Yeah. The little, you know, just kind of rub their shoulders a minute when you walk by. But those hugs that she talks about in that podcast, I'll put that number up here in our show notes too.
Yeah, I remember that one. That's great.
That was really good. So what is your fifth thing?
My fifth thing is, I think they're just more interesting people. They play piano. I think they may be outside in the back, kind of at a lake right now with your sons fishing.
Yeah.
They have hobbies that they just enjoy. They can talk about different activities. They still play with Legos because they can create things. They like to draw, play outside. They can do hard things. They can make eye contact. Yeah. They'll even notice it now if we're there was a lifeguard at the pool who I was speaking to the other day. It was just a delightful young woman. And even my kids noticed she wasn't on her phone earlier. She was reading a book when she was on break, and she makes eye contact. And she also does swim lessons. So I was able to say, guys, like, she's probably really successful because she's learning how to build her business as a 19-year-old because she talks to adults. So our kids, they know how to go on family vacation. We can take car rides. It's a 3-hour drive from where I live to here.
Yeah.
They both read a book in the car. I would have thrown up if I had to do that. But thankfully, they did that. And that's not something that we've always been able to do. We've kind of worked towards it. But they just have more interesting lives and more interesting behaviors. One of my sons told me one day, Mom, I love playing piano. It makes me feel calm.
Aww.
And I just... knowing the teen years are coming, that he has already been able to identify on his own
something
a behavior that will help calm him. It's just such a, it's such a blessing in our, in our lives. And it's something that there are also weeks where he says he doesn't want to do piano lessons and this is so stupid. Why do I have to? And I tell him what you told your boys, which is when you're 18, you can quit. But until then, this is what we do.
It's just a gift that just keeps giving. And if you can help him through the middle school years again, it's going to be tough because none of his friends are going to play and he's going to think it's lame and whatever. You've got to be strong and you've got to hang in there with him. And let me tell you what has happened with the piano in our house, you know, because we were those mean parents that forced the piano, you know. And so Evan, of course, and Andrew, they both play. And but the most interesting thing is how for college – they've contacted the school they're going to, and they're actually both going to be minoring in music so they can get lessons. They're like, Mom, we can get lessons.
That's so
it's
great.
Included. And if we minor, then that's part of our classes. And so to sit back from my seat and to just watch this happening, and guys, I promise I'm not forcing them. They don't have to do that.
No.
You know, they're
18.
Over 18. Yeah. They can do whatever. But what's so fascinating is now they have this gift that they have nurtured. And this talent that they have built. And I will honestly tell you that unless you go through the hard time of figuring out the gritty part of it, you will never know.
Right.
You will never know if your kid ever had a talent for it. Because I don't really believe, I don't know if it's really talent or if it's practice. I think it's all practice.
Right.
You know, I think you become talented when you practice.
You get good at what you do.
It's kind of like with your running.
Right.
Were you born a runner? Well, probably not, you know, but you started practicing and you had the grit to go through it. And then all of a sudden you start getting better. And in Angela Duckworth's book, Grit, you learn so much about that. I highly recommend everybody reading that. If you're having second thoughts about, you know, pulling the plug on the digital piano, don't, keep that piano going. So I love that. I love your five things.
They're just interesting boys and they just have so many interests. And I just think today, if we came over here and they met your boys who are, you know, 18. So when you're 9, that's
intimidating.
A big jump.
Yeah.
And they have activities that they can go do together.
With
now.
Yes.
And if it was all video games,
they would be in a corner on their Switch somewhere while you
remember they were even here.
No, I know.
So this is going to be a day and a fun experience that
they can remember.
And that, you know, sometimes I sit in church even and I think about the fact that my boys play piano and I'm like, who's going to lead worship
for
us decades from now if we're not investing in these kids now?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I love it. I love it. And you're exactly right. This whole lifestyle is very enriching. They will learn things. I just want to encourage you. They will continue to learn things that you never dreamed that they would learn. And just by reading all the books, they're going to get interested in different things. And by doing sports, they'll get interested in collecting baseball cards. And when you collect baseball cards, then you can talk to an adult about some player that he went and saw a game when he was 10 years old. I mean, there's just all, it just is never ending conversation to pull from their experiences around stuff. And even though they're kids, it doesn't matter. They still have opinions. They still, Yes, you know, and they get kind of obsessed, right? So right. That's what is so beautiful and difficult about childhood is they do get obsessed over the things that they're getting interested in. And so that's why we have to be careful that we put the right things in the way.
Right. And I think as a mom, as you know, the only woman in my house raising boys, I think about what are they going to be like one day as future husbands?
And I think about that all the time.
What type of women are they going to marry? And I want them to be men of character and men of honor and men who
can do the dishes.
Can do the dishes and play sports and be active and just have a healthy lifestyle, not the men that are, okay, well, I'm going off to my man cave to play video games. I'll catch you later.
You know, and since I have a daughter, I think about that all the time. And I'm so glad you brought that up because I am doing the same thing. I'm raising boys who I would want a daughter to marry one day. And it's not, you know, that they can't do video games one day when they're older, but if they don't learn all these other things now, they're not going to wake up one day when they're 20 years old and all of a sudden know how to do all these things. They're just not going to do it. But they can learn how to do video games anytime. Like, so I'm not worried about that. Right. That's not the thing we're worried about. And so last night, you know, we're getting them all ready for college and packing and trying to do things. And with boys, it's very different than girls because they just want to take just only a few little things, which is fine. That's all we're taking is a few little things. My daughter, on the other hand, I think we had two carloads going. But with the boys, we have a few little things. But Evan told me last night we had washed a bunch of shirts. And he goes, Mom, I'm going to need to practice ironing. I haven't done that in a while. So I'm like, yeah, you're right. Cause you know, you're going to need to do that. Right. So he gets the ironing board out and he ironed, I think 5 shirts or 10 shirts or something for him and for Andrew. And he hadn't done it in a while and it's hard, you know, cause you don't want to burn yourself. And I thought, I'm just watching this. And I'm like, oh, I wish my whole audience could see this. These boys ironing their shirts. And you know, there's a lot of girls I don't think that even know how to do that anymore. And he was commenting on that, you know, he said, I'm going to have to do this myself. So it was really fun. And he wasn't even batting an eye. It was like, oh, I'm going to do this. And he even said when I was trying to like get in there and no, mom, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I have to learn how to do it. So it's a life learning gift that you're giving them that they not only are learning this stuff, but they want to.
Right.
And they feel so accomplished. And he hung up like these 8 shirts and he's like, look.
So proud of himself.
Yeah.
And it's just building that confidence.
Yeah.
I had gone for a run early one morning and took the dog and my younger son and I come because my older son had slept in a little bit and I came back and the dishwasher was on.
Oh, no way.
He's going into middle school, guys.
Wait, and you didn't.
He doesn't play video games, but he unloaded the dishwasher without asking.
Sure, without you asking.
I'm pretty sure he probably asked for dessert after lunchtime or something.
I don't care.
But it was just
the boy cake.
It's just these little moments. He just, it's like, it just needs to be done. He helps do it all the time. This is not hard. He knows where all the dishes are.
Yeah. And he's building that habit. And
something to fill
wonderful.
The free time while he was waiting for us.
And whoever he marries is going to be so thankful to you. She's going to thank you for doing that. So I got a couple little questions and then we're going to wrap up. So just give me in a nutshell, what does your day-to-day look like with your ages? Tell me their ages again. Exactly.
9 and 12.
Mm-hmm. So for a 9 and 12, you've had the summer. I know you've done some traveling. I know they're outside a lot, but just in general.
So kind of school year.
So
kind of school year. We wake up in the morning to get ready for school. They both have alarm clocks in their room.
Excellent.
I mean, they pretty much wake up when they need to
without
it, but they have alarm clocks. They are responsible for getting up, getting dressed, getting their own breakfast. Sometimes my 9-year-old will make himself eggs.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to cook eggs, so
good.
He'll do that on his own. And they have to give the dog food and water.
Oh, good.
And they've got to get their lunch and get that in their backpack. And we're, you know, out the door. They come home from school. Sports practice or not, kind of our plan is you come home, you empty out your lunchbox, you sit down, get a snack, do your homework.
Do your homework right away.
After that, they pack their lunches.
Oh, so that's so great.
I don't pack lunches anymore, guys.
Yeah.
because it's part of planning and helping them be ready for the
next day. Yeah.
So they do that. We've got a hook in our hall closet.
Yeah.
They hang their backpacks up. That's the sign to me that they are done,
they're
with,
done
all
with
their
homework.
And their lunches are made or you know in the refrigerator ready for the next day. And then they're free to use our house phone and call the neighbors and go play or be outside or or whatever it is kind of we have going on. So they get a lot of free time to just.
Oh, yeah. Tons of free time.
Do things and be boys. And
do they read? Like, what do they do in the summer during their free time?
They read. We do a lot of library trips. So
okay.
Kind of, but they are both pretty active. We do swim team.
Yeah.
We're kind of always in at least one.
Yeah, we are too.
Well, we're always in a sport. Sometimes it's two, depending upon, the different kids and different interests.
Yeah.
But, so they're on their bikes. They're mountain biking. We live close to my mother-in-law, so they'll hop the fence and run up to her house because she has better dessert than I do.
Oh, of course she does, as she should. As she should.
Our older son, he mows the lawn, so that's a paid chore in our house. Mm-hmm. He's now gotten hired by our neighbor.
Yeah, that happened over here too.
An elderly neighbor who really needs the help, and he pays better than we do.
Of course, it should be. There's plenty to do.
We're coming and going, but there's just a lot of go be outside. We've got, all the different, we've actually grabbed a soccer net that was sitting on the street at somebody's house, kind of ready for the trash. And we're like, nope, that's not trash. So we took that down and so they're using that.
You just get real creative about things. Yep. And I know that you agree, and I promise everybody listening that you don't get bored. I know it seems like you would, but you don't, because there's so many other things that are so much more fun. And my oldest son used to say all the time that, Mom, kids who play video games, they're really bored with everything else in life.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, Adam, you are so right.
I had a friend who they stopped video games with their son, who's 12 also. They stopped about a year ago. But one of the first things she said to me was, like, what are your boys?
Yeah. What do you do?
And I'm like, they go outside. They play. They are able to invent games and create
be
things.
Be innovative.
And I'm not in there teaching and coaching everything.
Yeah.
They're
independent.
I can pull back and, there's this. They're brothers. There's the fight.
Sure.
And the things that I need to kind of jump in on and.
Yeah.
And hold on, everybody. Yeah. Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
But,
be the referee.
Right.
A little bit
but
sometime.
Generally, they're out.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the biggest obstacle for parents that are trying to be screen strong and, maybe they're having to reverse some things or maybe they just say, well, I just can't do it. And they throw the towel in. Why? What do you think? Because, to me, it feels like, well, if they know all this,
why would you not?
So much easier.
At first it's hard. I think at first when you're getting used to doing things differently, it's hard to start a new habit versus for adults and kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, not believing that it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not being educated, really.
I can tell you the number of conflicts we have. I can get my kids to do anything if I say you can watch a show.
Yeah.
Right. I could get them to clean our house top to bottom if I promise that. And that's not teaching character. That's just manipulation.
Right.
So I think it's not believing that it'll actually pay off.
Uh-huh.
It's probably the hardest thing. And sometimes it's the people around you too. I think we talked before we started that my son told me one of his best friends is getting a smartphone. And I was like, that doesn't sound quite right. So I texted the mom and, said, is this true? I want to just know so I know how to address it. And you can obviously make your own decisions for your own family. But and it wasn't quite true. The truth had been very much manipulated.
Yeah.
So I think it's feeling like your child's going to be left out.
And I think that's a really good point because that's happened to us too. When so-and-so is getting a phone and then you call the mom, well, no, that's not exactly true. And so just be careful what you believe because your kids will tell you everything. Their eyes are bigger than their stomach and they'll tell you everything. And they're not, it's not that you just want to not believe anything they say anytime, but just know that by saying that they feel like, oh, well then if you know that mom's giving in, then you're going to give in.
Right.
And this is the oldest trick in the book with kids. And so we just have to not only check the source, but still really stand firm.
Right.
And just say, well, that's great. Their house does that, but our house does this.
And they don't agree with all the decisions we made.
Right.
And I don't agree with all the decisions they made. But I'm not their parent and they're not your parent.
Right.
So this is the family you've been placed into and And this is where we're going.
So what would you say to the mom who's right now thinking, okay, I know I need to cut this back. I want my kids to be more interesting. I want them to do the dishes. But what about if I just let them play an hour a day of Fortnite? Like, can that be the same as a movie?
We never had video games in our house. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was because we found you when our kids were still so young, and I'm so great. I say no. I know that interactive gaming is just so much different than sitting and watching a movie together as a family. It just affects you differently. It's an individual thing that is happening, and they're being controlled by what the gamers want them to do. Mm-hmm. Versus if we're sitting and watching a family movie, that's a shared experience. That's something that we can even talk about, mm-hmm. For days or weeks to come, or mm-hmm. or relate it back to things that have happened in our real life. Mm-hmm. So we went to the top of the Empire State Building. We watched King Kong. Like they had that moment of understanding, and give it the 30 days. Take the 30 days. And when we started 30 days, I think the first time we ever did it, we actually went 45 days because it was going so well. But I didn't tell my kids, for the next 30 days, you're off screen.
Okay.
I said, we're not doing that today.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day, we're not doing that today. Because for them, 30 days is a really long time in the course of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And to just take it as little chunks. And I wrote down, behaviors that we were seeing mm-hmm. that we wanted to go away, and started seeing improvements. And I saw that pretty quickly.
So but think about,
we just stuck with it. And my husband was on board, which really helped. Made it easier for us in our house.
And I just want you to think about right now at this moment in time, what it would be like if your son played Fortnite every day for an hour. He probably wouldn't be unloading the dishes.
No, it would be all about when's game time.
It kind of shifts their likes and their desires and what their motivation is.
Real life becomes more boring.
That's right. And that's the way it's designed.
And real life sometimes just is boring.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's okay to be bored.
We need it.
I get a lot of, it's summer. I'm bored. Yeah. I'm like, that does not bother me.
No. It's just an opportunity to be more creative.
I was on the phone with my mom not that long ago, and my older son had come out, and I'm so bored and there's nothing to do. And I was talking to my mom. She said, why don't you have him write down a list of all the things, he could be doing? Because I was shoot baskets, go kick
you gotta
soccer
have a
ball,
list handy.
Go play piano. I was giving him all the things, and he didn't want to do that. So he decided to make a list of 50 things he did not want to do.
Oh.
And it was great. He probably spent, 45 minutes on it, but he made a list. But I was like, there's some executive function skills right there. He's planning. Yeah. And the list was some silly things. I would not want to, eat a
lizard
peanut butter sandwich that had been stepped on. I don't know what it was. It was just some silly stuff, but it was, he didn't want to do what I said. So he did.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
But it was better than Fortnite.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, okay. One more question, from a mom, how will they ever learn to balance their video games and their screen time if they don't do it now?
That's just making an assumption that I don't make. That's assuming that that's something that they need in life. And that's I think a lot, there's video games in the world, right? There's mm-hmm. also drugs in the world. And I don't need them to practice using drugs so they get high, but just a little bit high, not very high. That's just not, that's not something that we're going to do. We're going to know that that exists in the world, know that you're going to come in contact with it. People are going to be using it but we're not going to participate in that. We're going to say, we know that this is bad for you. We know it's damaging. And so we're just going to avoid it. And, can I control everything they do when they're adults? No. But if I've set them up with good decisions and good behaviors, I trust that we'll reap those rewards.
Yeah. And they have that good foundation. So. And then when they have the good foundation built, then these temptations and all this, addictive stuff out there is just going to be much easier to deal with when they have a good foundation. But when they have it early, we know scientifically that 90% of all adult addictions start in childhood. So there's a reason for that, guys. And, if they were just playing Pac-Man, that might be a little different. But all the games today are super, super addictive. And that dopamine is so far above baseline that it's just setting them all up for craving, more addictions. Right. So every addiction, all the addiction research out there, from drugs to alcohol to gambling, across the board, 100% of all the research, and this is hard to say, okay, about it, much to say 100%, but the earlier you start, the worse it is.
Right.
That's just a fact. It's like gravity. Like, we're not going to, this isn't a parenting opinion. Right. It's just gravity.
And it's knowing if they start on one addiction, they're more likely yes. to get others.
Yeah.
And knowing all the content that's out there yeah. that I'm trying to shield them from, you know, they don't have to grow up and look at pornography.
That's right.
They don't have to grow up right. and do drugs or abuse alcohol or play video right. games. These are choices. And so we're going to structure our family yeah. in a way that is honoring to who they were created to be mm-hmm. and is letting them live to their full potential.
Full potential. All right. So let's wrap up. Give us some encouraging words to the parent out there who is just got her jaw dropped right now. And she's listening and she's like, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do it. What would you say if she was sitting right here in our living room?
I would say what I've told friends is it is easier than you think. Mm-hmm. Once you get past that initial hurdle of changing your family's dynamic, mm-hmm. it is easier. We have less fights in our house. There's yes, less arguments. There's less discord. I'm getting more hugs. Mm-hmm. I get, I love mm-hmm. you out of mm-hmm. a middle schooler's mouth with regularity. Yeah. It is worth the hard now. It's kind of like when you have a brand new baby and you're trying to get them to sleep through the night and you know, you keep going in every hour. Mm-hmm. They're just going to expect that every hour.
Yeah.
But at some point you have to just give them a yeah. moment and let them do something hard. And mm-hmm. seeing your kids struggle to pick up the phone and make a phone call or figure out what to do when they're bored. I can't tell you the number of times this summer where they've said, can we watch a show? And I've said, no, we're just not going to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And within 20 or 30 minutes, they are incredibly engaged in some other activity mm-hmm. that they've created on their own.
Oh, yeah.
And it just the payoff happens so fast. And because I've been so strong, so screen strong on saying no in those moments, I'm just seeing the benefit and mm-hmm. it is worth it. And so much easier than you think.
That is wonderful advice. And you're so right. It is so worth it. And it's like this recipe we talked about in the beginning of the show. It's just like, don't make it wrong. Like, just use the best recipe that you can find with the information you have at the time. So if you've already made a bunch of mistakes like I did, you can turn it around. You can prevent bigger mistakes, and you really can. We're all about prevention over here, and we're all about starting right where we are. And you do better when you know better. Thank you so much for
coming
by today. And I can't wait. We're going to run outside and see what the kids are doing because they're either fishing or swimming or doing something fun. I am so glad that we got to get you in here and get this information out. Definitely, we want to have you back when you come to visit your mom again.
Yeah,
so please come back. So thank you all for listening today. If you have any questions for us, please email me or share them in our Connect group at screenstrong.org. We have a free forum there for you. It's kind of like social media, but it's not social media. and then we have a subscription area too, where we have a lot more content. So what is your homework? To share this podcast with all of your friends. Go subscribe on our site so you will get our email that goes out every other week. And get on the wait list for the student course. We're announcing this in September. It is going to be fabulous. It is fabulous. And Emily, you were able to be in the beta test for that. So get on the wait list. You go to this site and click on courses, and then you'll see it there and get on the wait list there. And then also I want everybody to save the date for October 13 and 14. Mostly on the 13th, we have an all-day workshop here in Charlotte, and Dr. Stacy is going to be flying in for that to do this live in-person workshop. So put that on your calendar and look for information on that. And then finally, hold off on all those salty screens in your kids' lives for now. Just use a little bit and you'll be fine. Remember, we've got your back and we are here to help you. So until next time, stand up for your kids, stand out from the crowd, and stay strong.